have turned to the precious word of life, needing strength for my weary soul. How often has the voice of God addressed the sin in me as he draws me close and makes me whole. In the darkest hours of life I faced, I've been healed by the word. My spirit springs to life anew as I hear from the Lord. The voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life, the source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. Decisions I have made have been guided by this book, speaking truth when I don't know what to do. It stands unchanging in a world where nothing stays the same. It's a constant light, what forever we go through. It was true back then, it's true today. I can build your life upon it, the foundation upon which I stand. I'm thankful I can say that it's the voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life, the source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. It's my strength in times of temptation. It's where I first learned of God's salvation. And tomorrow when I open up that precious book again, it still will be everything I need. The voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life, the source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible.
Appropriate. Turn in your Bibles this morning, please, to the second book of Peter, chapter 1 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 16 through 21 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 16 through 21 this morning. As you're finding your place, or if you're still looking, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning. If you're unable, please remain seated. We understand, but those of us that can, to honor the Word of God, we stand to our feet as we read the Word of God this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereas you do well that you take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great passage in the Word of God. Use it today to help us. Help us to be better for being in church today. Help us to be better for hearing it if we're at home watching on the internet. God, just do a work in our hearts and our lives today from this passage of Scripture. Now, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room or listening on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would trust him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I ask that you turn your phones off, please. Have nothing but a Bible in your hand, or if you use your phone for your Bible, please pay careful attention to our scripture this morning. This will not be a theological dissertation. I don't even know what that is. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is recounting an event he and James and John had with Jesus. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus asked those three men to step aside with him, and they went up there. And while they were there talking with Jesus, the Bible said the Shekinah glory of God came from the inside of our Savior to the outside. And he began to literally begin to, if you want to call it, glow or whatever the case may be. Then a cloud surrounded them. And then Peter said, you know what? Then we heard the voice of God from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. So they see a manifestation of Christ's deity. He was man on the outside and God on the inside, never stopped being either one. Still hasn't yet, by the way. We'll talk about that in another message. They saw that manifestation, the transfiguration of our Savior. Then they saw the cloud surround them. Then they heard God speak from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well. You ever think, man, what must that have been like to live in that day where people heard God talk from heaven? Now, the Bible says no man has seen God's face and lived. But people began to see, there was time in Moses, others, they saw a manifestation of God's presence. Can you imagine what that must have been like, what it must have been like to live in a day to hear God actually talk from heaven? And Peter's recounting that in this scripture. Now, it's important to keep your Bibles open, because when he gets there, if you'll notice, well, let's look at it now. When he gets there to verse number 19, he makes a startling statement. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whoa, wait a minute, look at me. What could be more sure than hearing God talk? Hey, what could be more sure than a manifestation of the deity of Christ? What could be more sure than that? I mean, wouldn't that resolve all of our issues if we actually heard God talk, speak to us? What could be more sure than to literally, with your eyes, see a manifestation of the working of God and then to hear his voice? Well, then he tells you what that more sure thing is. Go down now to verse number 20. Notice it, please. And he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any. You know what he said here? He said, it is more certain we have the Bible than what I saw up on that mountain that day. Whew. Now think about that for a moment. I've had people tell me, boy, my faith would have been increased if I lived in Jesus' day. I mean, if I was there. If I saw the walls of Jericho fall. My goodness, Noah's Ark resting on Mount Ararat. I mean, if I was there and I heard God tell me what he told Noah, if I was there and I heard God tell Joshua around the city once a day for 6 days of Jericho, seven times on the seventh day, and they shouted and the walls fell, if I was there and saw Elijah call down fire from heaven and consume that altar, and the 850 prophets of the local ministerial association stood back in shame and disgrace, if I was there, could you imagine what that would have been like? Boy, that would be certain, wouldn't it? Peter said, you know, I was at a moment where I saw Jesus transfigured. I was in a moment where I heard the voice of God from heaven say, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. And he said, but you know something, we have more sure, something more sure than that. We have the Bible. Is that how you look at your Bible? More sure than experience. Because experience is not reliable. Could we agree with that? You ever done that game at a gathering with some folks and you sit in a circle and you start a story on one end of the circle and it goes all the way around and it comes back to you? It's never the same. Never the same. People just can't get it right. You ever sit down with your family at a gathering, family gets together and you start talking about what you did when you were a kid? You ever notice how it sounds a little different now than when you were a kid? Hey, remember when I laid your head open with a baseball bat and they took you to the hospital? You had 14 stitches. Yeah, that was really funny. It wasn't funny then. Experience is not reliable. And events are very soon forgotten. Do you remember what year 9/11 took place in? December 7, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. Pearl Harbor. Events are soon forgotten. So you see, we think, boy, if I had the experience and saw and heard what they saw and they heard. Peter said, no, sir. Here's what's more sure than that. The fact that we have Scripture. The Word of God in our hands. I want us this morning, and as I said, this is not going to be a theological dissertation. The thought and the points on it are so simple, it'll blow your mind how simple it is. But the truth of the matter is, we do have a more sure word. Amen. We have something better than walking in the days when Jesus walked. We have something more certain than standing beside Noah and hear God tell him how to build the ark and what to do. We have something more certain, ladies and gentlemen, than to stand and watch the walls of Jericho fall. We have something more certain than stand on the mountain next to Elijah when he calls down fire from heaven and it consumed the altar and the nation fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We have something more certain than that, and that is that book you hold in your hand this morning. This book right here, the Scripture of God. Shasta Baptist Church is unashamedly and unapologetically a Bible believing church. We believe it is all inspired, all infallible, and all inerrant, every bit of it. And we believe that holds true with the King James Bible in our hands too, by the way. And the truth of the matter is, we have the more sure word of prophecy. We have it in our hands. You know why? Because even to this day, the Bible still speaks to each one on this earth. Because, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Because with the Bible, God still does speak to you. Now remember something. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. This is not a compilation, as it says in your Bibles this morning, back up to verse number 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We may made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, this is not a book of a collection of stories. This is not some historical book, though the history is accurate. The stories in it stand. I don't know how you could not read your Bible and enjoy every moment and every bit of it, with the exception of that stuff in 1 Chronicles where they talk about everybody giving the same thing 12 times over. I don't get that one. Then all the names in the crowd, Jobab, Aget, Nebab, Aget, Rebab, Aget, Hobab, and all those guys' names, I get that part. But it's in the Bible, so I'm okay with that. And I've read them before, and I'll be honest with you, when I read in my Bible and I come across that list of names in Chronicles, I kind of blow through them. I look at them, but I don't necessarily pronounce every name in there and every hyphen. You know why? Because I have never met one of them suckers in my life. Not one of those people I've ever come across with the name G-Bass. Never met that dude. He's probably out there somewhere. I don't know. But it's still in the Bible, and I found something out. But I tell you what, I don't get this. I don't get the idea that somehow the Bible, and we let people actually criticize our book and tell us we have a book that's, well, it's not really scientifically accurate. It is so scientifically accurate, it humbles the scientists of any day. They are foolish enough to tell us that we're an accident that happened because of an accident, that happened because of another accident that turned into people. That's basically the bottom line. Well, I'm sorry, we're not an accident. We are created in the image of God, made by the image, in the image of God, and formed from the dust of this earth, and we were nothing but dirt till God breathed life into us, and we became a living soul, and God made us different, and God made us the way we are. I believe all that kind of stuff. See, the thing to me is this. When I'm reading my Bible, I'm not reading black ink on white paper. I am reading the Word of God. That book speaks to each one of us when we read it, if we're paying attention. Sad we can't even take our Bible and spend a few moments in it in the morning without having the phone ringing and all the stuff going on and everything else that happens in our lives today. I'm going to say it one more time. It is our fault our life is so complicated. It is our fault we're too busy. It is our fault we don't have any peace and quiet. It is our fault because, bless God, friend, you can shut that world out in the morning. Take that stupid telephone and turn it off. Get your Bible out and say, God, I need you to speak to me today. You can get a Mount Transfiguration experience just by reading what the Word of God says. That's more sure than Peter saying, I heard him say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I heard him say, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I heard him say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I heard him say that. God's word speaks to each one of us. That's more sure than hearing a voice. You say, well, I hear voices. Then you need more medication. The bottom line is, or a little less possibly, whatever the case may be. The bottom line is, this book is more sure. I said it is more sure. I said it is more sure than walking the days of Bible days. We live in the day with the Word of God in our hands. It's more sure because the Bible speaks to each one. The Bible's more sure because the Bible speaks to anyone. What was said directly to them in their day was just for them. See, Noah had to tell Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, Japheth, and Miss Ham, Miss Shem, and Miss Japheth. He had to tell them what it was. He had to say, well, this is what God told me. And so he told them, he said, I saw it in the Bible. Yeah, but don't you understand? He could only tell those that were with him. When God talked to Job, it was only to Job. That was all that could happen. Job got that in his life. When God spoke to these people, he got to their moment in their time, in their day. And yet here I am. I can open my Bible and go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and step all the way back to eternity starting for this earth and God's creation of things. In the beginning, God. And what God told many of those folks in those days, they knew in their day. That was all they knew. And here I am, ladies and gentlemen, I have this record of God's working on this earth. Starting with his creation and down through his people, then that chosen man of Abraham and then that chosen nation of Israel and down to that, and then down to the ages and all the people that God, and all those folks, when they heard what God told them, when he told Ezekiel what he wanted him to do, only Ezekiel could know that. Then he would relay it to the people, but it was just for Ezekiel. He had to relay that. But I can walk with Ezekiel and I can stand next to him and marvel at when he said, Ezekiel, you know, I know you're preaching to a hard people and a people who don't want to listen. And you got one joy in life, Ezekiel. One joy, and that's come home to your dear wife every night. And tomorrow night, Ezekiel, I'm going to take her away from you. And you don't get to cry, you don't get to weep, you don't even have a funeral, Ezekiel. The next day, you hit the streets and preach. That day when Ezekiel preached, knowing when he went home that night, he'd have his last meal with his wife. He knew that. She didn't know that. Ezekiel knew that. And that night God took her with a stroke. And the next morning Ezekiel was on the street. And the word passed around that Ezekiel's wife was taken. They said, what is this all about? He said, this is what we've done to our God and how we've broken his heart. And he had to continue with that. But he still went home to an empty house every day. And still without that beloved wife that was there for him. He was there. See, Ezekiel knew what was going on. We don't. Job knew what was happening after a time. He found out down the road what took place in his life. But he didn't know. You see, what God said to each of those folks in that day was for them. them in their day and their time. We have the open revelation of God. It's closed in the book of the Revelation, but we know what God told them. We saw what happened to them. Don't you see the word of God speaks to anyone who's willing to listen to it? How foolish of us to take our Bibles and just treat it like a book or a piece of furniture on a table. God's got something for you in that book, ladies and gentlemen. He's got something for you. He wants to tell you something. You can stand in the valley of Elah with David and face a 10-foot giant, 125 pounds of brass armor, and with a pocket full of rocks, a shepherd's staff, and a sling. But you can stand in that valley with that boy, and you can watch him stand up to that man and stand up to a heathen empire. You can see that in yourself. See, there's something there for anyone if they're willing to listen to what it says. Boy, that's a more sure word. The Bible tells us that Abraham looked forward to Christ's day, and he rejoiced to see it. But he could only look forward to it. We can look at Abraham's day. We can look at Jesus' day. We can look at the cross. We can go to the tomb. We can stand there with him. We can see him walk on water and heal the dead and raise the sick. We can see, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Say, isn't that backwards, Pastor? Didn't he heal the sick and raise the dead? I'll preach it the way I want. Mess with me and I'll put Peter back in hell like I did a couple weeks ago. So watch it. The truth of the matter is, hey, see, we can go there. We can watch Jesus feed the multitudes of the five and say, well, yeah, that was in the Bible. No. A lad gave his little loaves and fishes, and Jesus fed multitudes with it. Most people there sitting around, all they cared about was lunch. We see there's much more to it involved than that. This book is more sure than anything those people ever knew in their day. Hey, we're not playing second base here, friend. You understand that? We're first coach on this deal. And our God has loved you enough to make sure you have a copy of that. Amen. So you could hear something more sure than what Peter heard. You can know something more, look at me, you can know something more certain than what Peter and John did when they came to the empty tomb and those ladies. When we were in Israel and we had a chance to go to that empty tomb and stand there and you see it. But it was special, wasn't it? Yes, it was. But I was not surprised to find it empty because I already knew he'd risen from the dead. You know why? Because this sure word of prophecy told me that he did. The Bible's more sure because the Bible speaks to everyone. Anyone who hears the word of God can hear from God. Listen now, anyone who hears the word of God. It marveled me to see what the word of God did to the people of Islam. In the Hindu religions, people who've been raised and taught in their religion all of their life, generationally. And then you take the word of God and you present a simple gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And watch it pierce, as the Bible says in 2 Peter, pierce through the darkness and bring the day star into their hearts, and they awaken to realize they're lost and they need Christ. They trust him as their Savior. That book speaks to everyone. If they're willing to hear it, that word of God, his word is not returned unto him void, he said there in Isaiah 55 and verse number 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Yeah, it does too. Now look at me. So don't discount this thing. Let's say you got a relative who's hard-headed, hard-hearted, and doesn't know Christ. You think, they're never going to get this. They're never going to get it by debate. They're never going to get it by argument. They're never going to get it by little cutesy pie illustrations. And they're never going to get it by Christians who don't back up their living, back up their message with their life. But I'll tell you something, friend, that book is a piercing book. It is a live book. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I have found, my friend, that when Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me," I found there's something powerful about that gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's amazing how powerful that book is. Anyone, that book will speak to anybody. It will. Hey, it'll work in any heart, any life, any circumstance, and any situation. We're over in Africa in Uganda. We were with Brother Stensas. He's since had to come home due to his health. This is the the senior Brother Stintz has. Near them in Uganda is what's called the impenetrable jungle. And you've all seen stuff with jungles in it, with trees. This stuff is just unbelievable. You have to hack your way through everything. And in the middle of this impenetrable jungle is a tribe of people they call the Pygmies, the little short dudes. Dude is what they call them, the little short dude. And he said, we have a ministry there to them. He said, and I would take you. We only had a day, half a day or so, in the next part of one day. He said, but it'd take us 2.5 days just to get into where they are, from hacking through the jungle and the roads and everything else. He said, but you know something, Brother Johnson? He said, I found something. The first time we ever got in there, we got to this village, pretty good-sized village of Pygmies. He goes, and the Ugandans, the Africans, don't consider the Pygmies to be humans. They're subhuman in their thinking. So we wanted to get in there and give them the gospel. And he said, we got in there, and he said, in fact, he was telling me this while we were sitting in their radio station. I'll bring that back in a minute. He said, we finally got in there, and the chief invited us to come in, and he said, in the center of the village was a hut with benches in it, like kind of like rough pew things, and a stump up there with a radio on top of the stump. He said, and as I talked with the chief, I asked him what that was. He says, oh, we listen to that every day. The voice comes out of that box every day, and we listen to that. And Brother Stinson said, I found out that most of the people in that village got saved, had already been saved. And I asked him, what are you listening to? He said, I turned it on. He goes, it was our radio station. And he said, when I spoke to the chief, he said, you're the voice from the box. Unbeknownst to them, though it took 2.5 days to get to the impenetrable jungle to get to these folks, the gospel jumped it a little tad, got to the radio, and here's a bunch of little guys sitting around a radio listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trusted, and before they could get there and lead them to Christ, God went ahead and got them saved anyhow. You know, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. See, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Those people in those days, they could talk to who they knew, get where they could go. Here we are. We have a book that speaks to anyone, everyone, and each one. We have the more sure word of prophecy. And here's Peter recounting what happened up on that mountain. And he's saying, boy, we saw the Lord transfigured. We heard the voice of God from heaven. He says, but we have something more sure than that. So then my question to you is this. Do you believe that? See, if you do, then you've got a better relationship with your book than you should have. Not something we don't go day and day in and day out with reading. Look at me. God wants to talk to you. And if you open that book and give him some time in your mind and your heart, you know what? He'll speak with you through that book. So we don't have to go up on a mountaintop. We got a Bible right here, sure word of prophecy right here for us to tell us what we need. See, when I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. I don't understand folks who have no confidence in the King James Bible, for instance. Well, the language is too complicated. Thou shalt not kill does not need interpretation. Last time I checked, I know what that means. What the problem is the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit of God to help us understand what that book says. So if it doesn't speak to you, two things this morning and I'm finished. Number one, you need salvation. The author of the book will come and live inside of you, and he will help you understand what you read. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's not heaven, though I don't have a problem applying it that way. It means the scriptures. God will open that book to you. You'll understand it. No, you won't get it all, because you're going to spend your whole life getting it. You're going to spend your whole life learning it. You're going to spend your whole life. I've read that thing 100 and some odd times, the Bible, cover to cover. You know what the truth of the matter is? I still don't get it all. I'm still learning it, and I'm still understanding. But I can get it. I can get it, because the Spirit of God is going to help me. So if you get nothing out of your Bible, you need to check your salvation. Have you simply trusted Christ as your Savior? Number two, if you have and you're not getting it, then you've grieved the Holy Spirit's working in some way. Now all of a sudden you're looking at black ink on white paper. That's not the book's fault. That's yours. You and I need to get some things right with the Lord. Rather than grab a commentary, rather than grab Google, how about this one? How about let God get a hold of you? Get your heart right before the Lord, and then you'll open that book and you'll say, God, I need something today. I need something today. And like the ladies sang this morning, I asked them to sing that song again for us. They've sung it here before, but I wanted that one to go with this morning. The voice of God. that speaks through the ages. And you and I live in a day and an age where most of us probably have two or three of them in our house. But hopefully it's more than just something you own. Hopefully it's something that owns you. And like you have to have nourishment, you've got to hear from God. Like you've got to have light to see, you've got to have light from God. And His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. When you need comfort, it's a comforting book. When you need correction, it'll correct you. It's amazing how you can read something one time and the next time you read it, it speaks to you differently. Romans 8:28 looks different at different stages of my life. Same verse, the truth stands out in a different fashion. Let's stand our feet this morning.